Okay, greetings. Welcome to the show. I'm sure a lot of people are waiting for James Gillen to get on the show. He's not going to be joining us tonight, however. He's enjoying a much-needed fishing break off up in the mountains somewhere. This is Nate. We just came off at the end of having an awesome week. Had a bunch of friends over for the Global Transformation Conference and kind of rode the momentum of that to East court date, where we were certainly supported by a number of different people and beings from all over the place. And that worked out very positively. So we got a lot of friends here still kind of hanging out and getting ready to enjoy the evening's festivities here tonight. We got clear, open skies, and we've been getting some really interesting phenomena on tape. We have got the man, the myth, and the legend, John Kelly, here still in the house, hanging around for a few more days. He's been catching some phenomenal stuff. John, are you with me, and would you fill us in on kind of what's been going on and some of the experiences that you've been having lately here at the ranch?
Hey, Nate, it's good to speak with you again. You know, being at the East City Ranch is always surprises and the unexpected, particularly at night during the sky watch. I've never ceased to be amazed at the different kinds of experiences we have collectively, the forms of collective contact that take place out there on the East City Ranch Field of Dreams. We were just out last night and had a remarkable experience when a group of guests, including people from Japan, Canada, and the United States, were all out in the field. James Gilliland was leading the Skywatch, and I think we have some tape where you can hear James talking about what he's seeing through the night vision and then what everybody sees together. Could we roll that tape?
That's it. I got it. I got this one. Yeah, that's a UFO.
Hello!
No, why is this thing going to flash?
It's going to flash back at you.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
Where are you going? Where are you going? This guy's going to flash. You see that? I told you it's going to flash at you.
It's pretty amazing when James Gilliland is out in the field just operating his night vision scope and he's making these predictions on the fly, and then they come true. Only 12 seconds later, the crowd, everyone saw together how that UFO flashed just right over top of the ranch. Pretty amazing, not only for the intensity of the light that came off that UFO and the pulsating way in which it just quickly strobed and flashed the crowd, but it was James Gilliland's conduct and the way that he anticipated this event and was able to relay it to the witnesses to be documented on camera. In fact, that incident was captured on three separate cameras, and I published a story in my column, The Vancouver UFO Examiner, for examiner.com, describing how the contactee James Gilliland predicted the UFO behavior, and he demonstrated what I would like to refer to as spiritual ET communications.
Awesome, man. So, John, you've been coming up here for quite a few years now. Is this the first time that you've experienced that sort of phenomenon?
I've participated in a lot of skywatches here where there were UFOs that were really obviously not man-made or anything conventional, flying over the ranch, as well as appearing in the trees and in the field itself. We saw lots of lights flying around in the field together. But also, as James's uncanny abilities that are also being showcased in this story. And I've seen hints of this, but I don't know if I've ever been around when he did something like this on camera. I mean, I know the stories about him charging the batteries for the TV show and other predictions he's made in the past that came true while TV crews were here filming. But I really felt like I was a part of that history where James was showcasing this amazing human performance where he could demonstrate interactive communications with beings who are flying very large vehicles and very high-energy vehicles over the ranch.
You need to just try starting it again.
So, yeah, I've been coming here for years, but new things continue to unfold, and I leave last night's sightings confident that all of the things that James has been talking about for decades now, the same things he's been telling people about contact, about human potential, they're as true now as they ever were, and James certainly demonstrated that last night.
Awesome, man. So when you just put the video out, right, John? And if people want to observe this video that you're talking about, that you got three different camera angles on the same phenomenon,
yeah.
Where do they go in case people aren't informed of your work and know how to check it out?
But right now, the fastest way to see that video is to go to the link on examiner.com. The column is called Vancouver UFO Examiner. The website, examiner.com. The story is contactee predicts UFO behavior, demonstrates spiritual ET communications.
Awesome, man. Yeah, that was a pretty cool clip, for sure. What else has been going on, John, man? You've been here for... Oh, man, you've been here for at least a week now.
Yep.
Would you like to share, I don't know, a couple other highlights, perhaps, from the last week's adventures or ongoing things that have been going on?
Well, I mean, what's been going on here at the ranch, of course, is a marvelous conference was held past weekend with these amazing personalities. These glittering personalities came to talk and share their knowledge with the audience and participate in dynamic group processes. I thought it was powerful for many people. I heard all kinds of testimonies from folks who came to attend about psychic incidents out in the field at night, all kinds of sort of personal breakthroughs, transformational growth and healing. Right. These kinds of stories came from the people, and it showed me that even though on that weekend we didn't face the clearest of night skies, we didn't see the massive galactic starships that we'd seen on previous July 4th type weekends, still it was the energy that was shared through the group, the dynamic, the powerful dynamic that the people felt together. And again, there were many testimonies of healing. We even saw people openly crying while they were giving talks, and it showed how moved they were and how their hearts were moved. I think one of the things I pick up on when I come to this location, come out of the city, out to the ranch, and there's this sort of heartfelt feeling, and there's also a great feeling of teamwork that's out here, and people working together and going shoulder to shoulder, tackling some challenging issues. And somehow, you know, that it's so rewarding and almost purifying for the heart to engage people on this level, this sort of the new type of society that's being fostered in this retreat environment. We don't always get to express those kinds of sympathetic resonances together when we're living in the city, but somehow this retreat at the East City Ranch makes room for people to have those kinds of profound feelings. And again, it was overwhelming, just the sort of spiritual energies, how people were showing. They were greatly moved. Their minds were heightened. The weekend wasn't just what appeared on the roster. It wasn't just the scheduled speakers, but it was the energies and the collective potential that the group brought together. And when everyone was together, something powerful happened between us. Can't say enough about how personally rewarding it was to be here with everybody and how much I look forward to staying in touch with the folks who we shared time together with that weekend.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely. And we were really happy to have you back and be a part of it once again. And, yeah, man, I got to say, it was certainly rewarding. I guess this is the fourth conference that I've been involved in. And you know, I notice every time it's always just ripe for creating a space for huge transformation for people on all sorts of different intimate personal levels. You know, I mean, it was totally beautiful, like, to even see even James, you know, really go through a huge transformation and healing. And, you know, kind of, even though he's a dude that's totally, you know, always tapped into the heart and everything, he even had expressed himself in ways during the panel that, you know, was definitely noteworthy and very emotional. And so I was really stoked and touched to see that and really proud of James. Yeah, it was just a triumphant, just been a super triumphant week.
Absolutely. It was, you know, people had the strength to share and to be vulnerable together, and it showed great cohesion and great promise for the future that people can be at their most vulnerable collectively and hold a place of honor and respect. I really felt that a lot of us reached that place together, and if we can take that back into our everyday lives and start to, you know, translate those lessons from that weekend into our personal lives, I'm sure there's a lot of growth and healing still to be realized for everybody.
Yeah, man. Well, John, we got a few other folks that are stacked up here, potentially waiting to to jump on and kind of talk about some of their experiences. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us or close up with?
Well, I just hope that people will keep an eye on my work this year. I have a lot of very interesting projects still coming up and finishing in development. UFO Mountain, my documentary, is still planned to be released later this year, which is all about several years of footage that he said. He interviews with James Dillon and all kinds of unique and exclusive information there. Watch for UFO Mountain. UFOMountain.com is the website. I'm also still practicing my clinical speech analysis. My website, yourinnervoice.com. People can find out more about unconscious secrets revealed in human speech and how they can help you. Yourinnervoice.com, or call me toll-free, 1-888-453-0751. And again, thank you, Nate, James, everybody at the ranch. It's wonderful to be with you again and having a fantastic time this summer.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Thank you very much, John. Totally a pleasure to have you on. We got a couple other gentlemen over here hanging out on the couch. I think Ryan is perhaps ready to go.
Hey, brother, what's going on?
Hey, brother.
What's going on?
How's it going? Man, so now this dude, you first came out here in like 2000. You came out here in what? Was that 2009 or 2010?
We were all here in 2009, bro.
2009,
yeah,
that's
self-mastery,
right.
Self-mastery. We did multiple weekends here, so yeah.
So it's been a couple of years gone by.
Yep.
And you're able to make it out here for this season. How things been going, man? You want to tell us a little bit about how your experience has been? You've been here for about a week or so now.
Sure, yeah. The week has been fascinating. I mean, we started off with the conference and everything, and it was top-notch. You know, speakers were just awesome. I'm especially a fan of Neil. You know, Neil Kramer, great speaker. And let's see, what else? I guess the highlight was really last night, Nate. I guess you was out there last night, was you?
I didn't catch it live. What was going on? But the first thing in the morning, John showed me the footage.
You know, I've been out here for a little over a week, and I've been looking up every night, and for whatever reason, last night, I don't know, double, triple of what we were used to seeing out here. And, you know, a lot of you guys have seen the video that John posted. And really all I can say is there's more where that came from, because we filmed for a good couple hours, and there's so much that hadn't been edited and put out. So I'd be telling everybody to look out for more of that, because there's a bunch of it, man. There's a bunch of it.
Yeah, man. So what, though? I've been seeing you cruising around here with, what are you shooting with, man? You just got one of the iPhones? You've been catching some amazing videos, though, with just the iPhone, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, like back in 09, you know, a lot of the stuff we learned, you and me together back in 09, the self-mastery classes we took for, I guess it was almost a month there. And James just taught me some things, and first thing I did is got out and started, and I got this iPhone 4 and started shooting, and just kind of got a knack for bringing in, you know, orbs and other types of just phenomena. Short range in rooms, you know, I like to go city to city and just see what's there, you know what I mean? So I've got videos from all over the place, basically. I'm using an iPhone 4S now, so I'm up to 1080 on the resolution. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Sweet, man. So what else has been going on, man? I know you got to talk to James the other night, and we're pretty stoked. A conversation that you've been waiting to have for a while concerning the lion beans, man.
Are we going to open that can tonight?
I mean, dude, we're here at East City, man. It's no problem.
Okay.
To go there, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
I presume that you're okay with going there.
No, let's go there.
Yeah.
By all means,
well,
can you
set it up, man?
Sure, brother.
Like, when did you first even become aware of that type of being, or, you know, how did that all unfold?
Okay. Well, how that unfolded was this. I come here in 09, had some other really odd experiences. Nothing as positive as the lion beings. But after I got here in 09, we did our self-mastery. We're talking 4 months after that. I'm literally laying in bed, and all of a sudden, somehow or another, I go out of my body, and I go to this place, right? It's just a big open area, and I'm looking around, and I see all these things go from left to right, and they just kind of like cruise by, and I'm like, what is it, Halloween or something? You know, it's the first thing that pops in my head, and then next thing I know, I have a being, looks like a lion, 7 to 8 foot tall, pop right up in front of me with this big smile on its face, and I mean, just the love coming off this being is, I don't have the words for it, to be honest, but so he looks at me and kind of smiles and takes takes his hand, right, and puts it between my right between my eyes there, and then I feel the other two hands like come up underneath my occipital ridge, and when I had that, all I felt was just I was just totally blissed out, right. All I could get out of my mouth was thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, it was just when James talks about being blissed out, I didn't know what that meant until that moment, and that is what blissed out is, and it's, you know, just real grateful, and next thing I know, I'm back in my body, but pretty wild story, but definitely want to back James up. When he speaks of these lion beings, man, they're for real, and I've literally, I know some other people that have also spoke to me personally, and there's a few other people out there that have experienced these beings, so they are real. I'm going to back him up on that 100%. So, yeah, awesome stuff.
Hmm. Didn't you say you'd had some sort of communications with, what's this dude, Neil Hagg?
Yeah,
The dude that does the art.
Yeah.
Like, he's done a lot of art for, like,
for David.
David Icke has used a lot of his work.
Sure. Yeah, I have. I spoke to Neil a little bit, and if you'll look at some of his art, he's got a lot of art at his website. I believe that's neilhagg.com. You could go there, and he's drawn several of these beings and stuff like that. And the first moment I saw this one in particular, it's a white lion, and I looked at it, and nobody has drawn anything close enough to what I saw than that right there. So I reached out to him and said, you know, what's that about? And I'll let Neil, you know, tell his story for himself. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, absolutely.
So cool, man. So, I mean, but with the talk that you got to have with James the other night about that, I mean,
yeah.
Was there any highlights to that, or did you come to anything kind of new that you had never considered or something?
I tell you, I waited a long time until James that story. But we were out in the field just me and him, and I got to talk to him about it, and that's pretty awesome. And he basically just says, yeah, they've been around for a long time, you know, and when James gets back from his, you know, trip or whatever, me and him's going to sit down and have a real heart-to-heart about it. So I'm looking real forward to that, Nate. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be awesome. So we're going to go a little deeper into that because I obviously have a lot of questions that James has the answer to. So can't wait, man. Can't wait.
What about just coming to answers on your own, man? Was there any sort of epiphanies or I don't know, transformations that happened that you feel like you're going into from last weekend or from whatever's transpired this last week?
Nothing. As you asked me that question, I think nothing just sticks out like a sore thumb. I have a feeling, Nate, that me and James are going to sit down. We're going to do a transpersonal release session that James does here, and it's all going to come to to fruition for him, you know what I mean? I think that's how it's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fantastic,
sure.
Man.
For sure, man. And I can't wait, by the way. I can't wait. Stoked. So.
Cool, Ryan. Ryan, any other closing comments, remarks, statements, or questions?
Sure, bro, sure. You know, the big thing I want to get out is lion beings are real. Don't let nobody tell you different, okay? Don't let anybody ever tell you different. And, man, you know, come here and have your own experience. To anybody listening right now, you know, just get out here and have your own experience. Come here and visit this place and check it out. This field was going crazy last night. Get out here, have your own experience, and then, you know, go from there, man, because that's where it's at, man. It's having your own experience. You can, you know, you can read books and you can do that all day long, but you come out here and have your own experience. That's the game changer, man. So that's what I would recommend to anybody, and that's about all I got, brother.
Awesome, man.
Yep.
Well, I know that we got Joel Garbin, who just walked into the room over there.
Right on.
Maybe we could pass the phone to him.
You bet. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, thanks a lot for coming on, Ryan.
Yeah, brother.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, Joel. How's it going? So we got Joel Garbin. He's a longtime friend of the ranch. He's presented up here. Joel, how many times, like, you've been coming up here since what? You were telling me today since, like, early 2000 or late 90s?
Yeah, it was November of 2000 was the first time that I met James and had my first Skywatch out in the snow.
You came up in the snow for the first night.
Yeah, it was great. It was great and had something remarkable happen that evening. And, it's been, almost 12 years since then, and probably been up here at least several dozen times. And I would say probably have somehow accounted for hundreds of people making a visit here just through, word of mouth and, really passing the word that there's something remarkable that happens at the East City Ranch, and people should just come and experience it themselves.
Yeah, man. Well, that's so cool, man. And it was cool to get to hang out with you earlier today. We're just kind of talking, both kind of sharing stories from our lives and, what we've been up to for the past decade and stuff. It's really cool to hear, man. I didn't realize that you were involved with, some of the disclosure events that happened early 2000s. And we started to kind of talk about just, what you've noticed happen amongst, I guess the alternative or conscious communities, and how all these different topics have just become kind of more accessible or more people know about this sort of stuff within the last decade. Do you have any other comments that you'd like to talk about that?
Well, I think one of the things you and I discussed was that, the whole community that's involved in the research and education about new energy, meaning breakthrough energy technologies, and the UFO research community, it's been interesting to see that over the last, decade or so that a lot of folks who should be natural allies and collaborating together to help advance the field at times become very fractious and portraying themselves as owning the field,
mm-hmm.
and that their view is the view, and that there's a type of dogmatism that starts to develop around those topics. And I run an organization called New Energy Movement that educates about what's going on behind the scenes in breakthrough energy technologies. Certainly, I don't claim to be the expert of the field, but rather an advocate for anyone who wants to honestly come forward with, their inventions and help to bring resources to those folks and bring teams of people who are committed to helping some of these technologies finally make it into the public domain. Now, we had, I would say, those who have been in that community of what you might call the, free energy community, breakthrough energy community, we thought this was all going to come about 10 years ago where there would have been at least some devices that made it out to market. But it hasn't happened yet. And, Nate, as you recall from this afternoon, something that I feel needs to happen first is that, those who have been gifted with the inspiration for building the technologies need to understand that this was a freely given inspiration. And if you think you're going to become the Bill Gates of free energy by going standard business routes and building giant corporations and all this, and that it's all going to go along the way, something like Standard Oil and Exxon Mobil and all that, then I think you're never going to see the light of day with your technology. I think that because these things have such a potent implication for a whole planet, that the way that they are meant to be rolled out is with the understanding that a gift that's been freely given to the inventor is a gift that needs to be freely shared with the planet. And I'm very encouraged of late to see that more and more in the inventor community seem to be aligned with that principle. So there's more discussion about open sourcing the technology, doing something to share this gift that was imparted to the inventor originally. And as that idea starts to be embraced more and more, I definitely feel encouraged that some of these things are finally going to, you know, break out and make their way out into the public domain. But it's still going to take resources, still going to take, you know, what I call tiger teams, meaning people who have defined skills and who are very good at what they do and in the areas of finance and engineering and legal and business management, because just having a wondrous technology is just a first step and is no guarantor at all that a technology is going to make it successfully as a commercial device. So it's important that people of you know, what I think is fair to say high consciousness,
mm-hmm.
that they come together as these teams and really dedicate themselves to making this happen using a different principle than the business as usual approach, because I think that this is something extraordinary and requires an extraordinary new path.
Mm-hmm. Man, I didn't get a chance to talk to you today about Jason Verbelli. He was one of the presenters, and he was just up here. Are you really familiar with Jason's work, or have you heard of that guy?
I have not met Jason personally. I wish I had had a chance to be up here when he gave his presentation, but perhaps, you know, at a future time.
Yeah, we might need to kind of link you guys up together, man. He was really, what a really cool dude, and his presentation was awesome. And I don't know if you've seen his free energy flyer for the public, but it's got a bunch of different links for a bunch of different inventors with a wide spectrum of different free energy or over unity sort of devices.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I'll have to get you a copy of the video when that comes out.
Yeah, I'd welcome that. I'm always interested to see, you know, what other researchers and other people who are good networkers are doing to help spread the word on this, because it can't happen in little silos. It needs to be something that's widely embraced and widely shared, and the more the merrier.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point of new energy movement is trying to encourage you know, leaders to step forth in their own communities and families and neighborhoods and educate themselves and spread the word about what's going on behind the scenes to help, you know, bring that tidal wave of wisdom that can help launch a new energy era. And it's going to happen when there's, you know, those that critical mass of some millions of people who say, okay, you know, this is the time, let's make it happen. And then some really incredulous things are going to happen.
Awesome, man. Hey, so I don't know if you might have missed the beginning of the show. We had John Kelly come on, and he was talking about you know, kind of the experience of what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
With the footage, they've got footage of quite a few ships last night, I guess, from three different angles, three different cameras. Were you out there last night? Did you partake in that?
Yeah, I was out there the last three nights, and you know, it's been really different each night. Certainly, I would say, let's see here, Wednesday night it was fairly calm. Maybe it's because 4th of July. And here in the United States, there's an awful lot of aerial activity that may be, you know, substituted for, you know, some of the higher end fireworks that our visiting neighbors are providing us normally. But it was pretty quiet that night. And then the following night, Thursday, there was definitely more activity and some really good power-ups we were seeing, some you know, big bright objects. And then last night, definitely there was a huge increase in the volume of sky traffic, I think we could say. I mean, it seemed like every minute there was another object coming from some direction. And, you know, it was definitely busy out there. And I know some of the folks who had just arrived and had come from, you know, a great distance, I think were just very excited and enthused to you know, be greeted with you know, quite a sky display, and it was really wonderful.
Awesome, Joel. Cool, man. Well, looks like I think we have a couple other folks that are lined up here to try and jump on and just kind of be involved in whatever tonight's little panel of passing the phone around is.
Yeah, well, I will pass the phone over to Chuck, who's visiting from Maine.
Okay.
And so here's Chuck.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot for coming on, Joel.
Hello.
Chuck.
Hey, man.
Brother, how's it going, man?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
So, Chuck, what's going on, man? Tell us, is this the first time you've ever been out to the ranch?
Oh,
man. Been here previously?
Yeah, I mean, let me start by saying you had you know, John on, and then you had, I mean, Ryan and, you know, obviously Joel. And here I am. This is my first time. You've got all these experienced people that have been out there. And I literally came across the country. Yesterday I was in New Hampshire. I live in the border of New Hampshire and Maine.
Uh-huh.
And I was in New Hampshire at 1:30 yesterday, and it's my first time out. And so absolutely, I've never been here. And let me just start by saying, like, everybody you just had on, even though I've only been here 24 hours, I've been made to feel, like, absolutely at home. And everybody you've had on, I've had personal interactions with, whether it be breakfast, spending, you know, a day out just really talking about past history and, like, what's going on. And it's just amazing when you get here, being able to have those conversations with people. So, yeah, I just literally got here about 26 hours ago.
Awesome, man. Well, so what was your read after, you know, hanging out with the dudes that were just on the phone? Do you think that they're crazy, they're full of it, or what? Do you think that it was pretty credible?
Everybody's taking drugs, and they're all high on... No, I'm totally kidding. You know, absolutely not. I mean, everybody's reality is their reality, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my reality just happens to go along with what these guys are seeing. And I would say to anybody listening to this right now, because I can relate to anybody that says, look, I've never seen anything in my life, I don't know if I believe in it, I would say, you know what? Regardless of your beliefs, your past history, you come down here and you just have an experience, and you tell me when you're done what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because I'm somebody that has never in my life ever been able to say, look, I've seen an unidentified flying object. I've had an experience with something that was in the sky that couldn't be explained. I've never had that. Family members, I've had everybody. I've never had that.
Huh.
So a guy like me comes here yesterday, and you've heard some of the other people that were on. You've talked to John and Ryan and Joel. Everybody was out there with us last night. And, you know, it's just a coincidence that I have wanted to have those interactions and just see these things my whole life since a young boy. And here I get here, and everybody's like, yeah, it was crazy. And literally, I can tell you, we probably saw somewhere in the ballpark of 65 to 55 objects through the night.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, did you go for it? Did you stay up pretty late last night? Or
I was
How long were you out there to see that many?
I think I retired probably 5 to 10 minutes before everybody else. I probably beat most people in terms of the length of the night, but I would say probably 1 to 1:30 I was out there, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
My experience was really interesting, though. I mean, you say, like, what did you see? I'm going to tell you something. I literally met Ryan yesterday, so he and I love a good cigar. So I took Ryan out. We had a seat. We're looking at Mount Adams, and if you can imagine, you know, somebody like me who loves a good cigar, and I light it up, and he and I are having a great conversation. We're 20 minutes into the cigar, and it's about 8:40 last night before any sun goes down, right? I look just straight up at Mount Adams, and if you look at the center top of Mount Adams and you follow that down to your right, and then you just look up, what I saw was literally just this white light that just danced around for me for about 3 to 4 to 5 seconds and disappeared, reappeared over to the right, and just swirled out and just left. And I was like, Ryan, did you see that? And of course he didn't, because he had his back turned. But that's what started for me, and that was almost like, hey, we know you're here. How you doing? Great to have you. Enjoy the show. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was really pretty neat.
That's awesome, man. I wasn't even really out there last night. I kind of needed to attend to some other things, but I heard that even the light on the mountain was turning on. Did you see any of that?
Well, again, if I could explain to somebody that has not had this experience or hasn't been here what that looked like and what this light in the mountain that you're referring to is, first off, if you could take a star, what we see as a star in terms of light, size, all of that, and you were to put it in my last example of this dancing in the light, it would look just like that. And last night, it was really funny because we would look over, and I was making people aware. I was like, hey, guys, the lights back on the mountain, and you'd look down on the mountain, and on a certain spot in the mountain, sometimes a couple of spots, you'd see this light, just like what I saw, go on, stay on, and turn off when it decided. And it was just come on and off. And at one point, we're like, are those hikers? You know, with like a flashlight? But honestly, it would just come on, come off, and it just, it was absolutely odd, and it really fit into the other experiences we were all having.
Wow, man. Cool.
Above all else, you know, the second thing that we saw in the sky just absolutely powered up and lit up like I've never seen. So, I mean, you know, outside of just what I've talked about, I can't even explain what it's like to be here and to watch it firsthand and not just on TV.
Uh-huh.
It's absolutely, it was amazing. And it just didn't feel like it was going to stop.
Huh. Cool, man. So how long had you known about the activity being, you know, so well known in this area and the ranch and Mount Adams and all that?
I actually, my experience was back probably like the summer of 08, and I was in a place called Leaping Lizards in Maine, which is, you know, a spirituality store. And I just walked over to the DVD section, and I saw, you know, UFOs, James Galoon story, and I was like, wow, something just resonated in me. And I said, I've got to, you know, I'm going to check that out. So I literally dropped like 30 bills on this thing that I had no information about, no history with, and just absolutely felt like everything he was saying resonated with me. I was like, wow, that really feels like strong. I feel really strong with all this, you know. So I started doing my research, and I was talking, you know, I talked to a friend here, talked to a friend there. I said, hey, you've got to watch this with me. And the more that we looked at it, I was like, and, you know, I hate saying this now, but we were like, okay, he doesn't seem crazy. You know, you listen to what he's saying and it just resonates. And so literally I had been wanting to come out here for a while, and it wasn't until earlier this year. In fact, I think I called you, Nate, about 3 months ago, and I made a reservation, and everything aligned, and I got out here, and everything's been history since. It's been absolutely awesome getting here. So that's kind of my story, is I've been following for a couple of years and kind of getting updates once in a while on, you know, whatever I could find online, and just really felt strongly I need to be here. That's my story.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, I'm really glad that you made it out.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like you had pretty awesome timing. It was an excellent night last night. Super clear right now. Tonight looks like we're going to have another excellent conditions and this evening for sky watching. And John Kelly's still in the house. He's got all of his gear. We're going to be pulling the gear out here later on tonight. Got a few other friends here that showed up. Got some other guests here that have some other equipment. I'm not sure. I haven't seen everything that they got with them, but they got a couple of cameras, maybe some lasers, a little bit of night vision. Should be good, man.
I'm going to go on record as saying tonight's going to be even crazier than last night. I've been thinking it all day, meditated on this morning, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, dude, I have a couple other friends that I want to try and bring on, and Doug has the number linked up to give them a call. We're going to try and bring Spencer and Jesse on. They were here for the weekend. And Mr. Spencer even presented a little information with us. Before we do that, do you have any other closing remarks or anything else that you'd like to get on there?
I just want to say to everybody, I don't care where you are in America, if you're hearing this, and this is something that you really feel strongly about. I mean, you're hearing from somebody that literally felt so compelled to be here that I flew 3,000 miles to be here, got here yesterday, and if you feel like any of this resonates with you, then really, this is a life experience. Life is meant to be lived. It's a bumper sticker. I bought it for $1.99, and I totally believe in that, you know. Live your life. Come over here and just experience things. Don't sit in the sidelines. Really try to do your own stuff and have these experiences. So I think really strongly that's it's important for us to go out there and really experience things. And I'm just happy to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Well, thanks, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, did we get a hold of Spence or Jessica? I don't know if he's there.
Yes, I'll get him right now.
Mr. Doug at BBS.
Yes, I'll get him right now.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, so maybe we're still trying to call those guys and see if we connect to them.
Yeah, I'll try to call them right
maybe,
now.
Maybe I'll point out real briefly for anyone who is listening and is interested in visitation to the ranch. I'll just go on record and let everybody know that technically nowadays, to protect the ranch and to protect any of our guests that might be coming, the ranch is no longer open to the public nowadays. We're doing everything privately. But if you would like an invitation, a private invitation to come visit, all you got to do is give us an inquiry. And you can do that over at ecetireservations@gmail.com. So that's ecetireservations@gmail.com. Or you could also give us a call. The phone number is 509-395-2092. And, you know, you can give us an inquiry, and we can go from there and see if the times that you are looking at would coincide with a good time for the ranch. And, it's always interesting to meet new friends, and we had a great crew of people from all over the world out here just recently.
Spencer is with us now.
So, Doug, I heard you say something. I'm not sure what you said.
Yes, your guest is with us.
The guest is with us. Okay, so is Mr. Spencer there?
Nate.
Hey.
Spencer.
Hey, Spence. How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing?
Great. Hey, thanks for joining us. So we've had a whole cast of characters on here tonight. So, Spence, you came out this weekend and were sharing a little info with us.
Yeah.
Do you want to maybe talk to us a little bit about some of the experiences that you had over the weekend, or just your perspective on what was happening or any transformation that might have happened within yourself?
Well, boy, that's a lot of chapters.
Yeah, that might be. But that's kind of just a free association to kick it off. You can go any way with you, which way you feel with that.
I don't know. I had some nice pain work done by Jay. He worked on my back for a bit. What do you mean transformation set me up a little better?
I don't know. We were just talking earlier in the show. I don't know if you had tuned in, but... You know, it seems like these events always provide you know, a space for deep transformation to happen on all sorts of different personal levels for people. I think, you know, even some of the information that you were sharing in your presentation, you know, it might have been kind of the first time that some people had ever been exposed to that type of information delivered in that type of specific perspective. So that might have been, you know, transformational for just a few of the people that you even spoke with.
Right.
That kind of comes to mind. And I don't know, I know that you guys may have not had as much experience with, you know, some of the metaphysical or paranormal or UFO stuff. But I know that you guys have had some interesting experiences recently. That have maybe, you know, raised your eyebrows or given some time to pause and reflect upon them.
Yeah, a lot of that kind of thing happens just a little bit slow in my mind. I kind of categorize it and I look at it and I go real slow with it. So sometimes I'm not ready to pull it right back out and analyze it real deep. But we saw some really cool stuff in the photographs that we took.
Yeah, I was hoping Jessie would get on and maybe talk about some of that here later on. I don't know if she's around or if she's cool with jumping on the show, but...
Yeah, the resident photographer.
So what was the deal with the photography, man? Fill everybody in.
Well, let's see. We got three photographs that really stood out to me. One of them was we got a picture of the Yseti dog, Jadar, and he's walking towards the camera, and he's got a little flock of what look like light butterflies, illuminated butterflies.
Following behind him. Yeah, dude, that one was really interesting, man. I want to pass that thing around, because I mean, I've seen pictures before where there would be, like, one little being that looks like that, but I've never seen like a little flock of them that they almost all look, you know, totally very synonymous, the sizes and shapes of all the little beings.
Yeah.
They almost all look, you know, totally similar. And and what, how many is there? Like, I don't know,
eight.
9 or 10 of them or something, like all flying around together?
Oh, 10. There's 10.
Yeah, that one was really cool.
Yeah, yep. And we have some with what look like maybe, I don't know, an energy bubble all around the people. Jesse and Jana are together in a photograph that have a real sharp divided line up above them. Where it's just sort of an energy field around them, and it peaks at the center between the two of them. So neither one of them have the peak. It's sort of like shared in the center of them. And then we have one photograph I think that really stands out above all of them, as far as just the photograph itself being interesting without the story behind it. And that was there are two guys standing. In the image, have their back to each other, and yet the silhouette of their face is in front of each one of them. So if it was the camera moving in one direction, it would only emphasize that motion in one direction, and yet the silhouette of the faces, say, goes to the left and the right, to edges of the photo. And that one has another silhouette. Silhouetted face, an energy face without a real person behind it. Now, there's no 3D person that should be generating this face and the energy.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's all in the same photo.
Is this the first time really that you guys have ever had that sort of phenomenon, energy or being? Or orbs or whatever show up in your guys' photography?
Yeah, and I've never taken photos out there before. I've just looked through the night vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first time I looked through the night vision, there was an orb that would come up to me and then go to the far side of the field, and I'm guessing that's probably 300 yards to the far side of a tree, and it would go around the back side of the tree and to the front to kind of show that it wasn't... say the edge of a light being cast, you know, because it disappears on the backside, and so it did that. It zipped around a tree a couple of times and then came right back to me, kind of like it was as if it intended to debunk any sort of any sort of doubt that I might have. I mean, I don't know why else it would leave me and come directly back towards me.
Hmm.
In the night.
That was in the night vision.
Yeah.
Now, is this the one that Jesse was talking to, or is that a separate one?
No, that was when I was there the first time.
Okay. Oh, okay. That was the first time you came out, like last fall.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then the photo that has probably the most interesting story was an orb that Jessie saw, not in night vision, not utilizing a camera, but she just saw it with her plain eye, with naked eye. And it zipped in front of her, and she said, "Hey, if you want to come back, you can." So it tucked in behind her and showed back up in front of her again. and that's...
But wait a minute, okay, let me get this straight. So what?
Yeah.
So she sees the thing come flying by with her naked eye,
and then she
interacts with it. She says, "Hey,
yeah,
it's okay, you can come back," and then it comes back, and it was
close enough to where she could say it in a conversational voice. She didn't need to lift her voice to think she needed to reach the distance.
Yeah,
so that's how close it was. Maybe inside of 15 feet for sure.
Uh-huh.
Oh, arm's length, she says, just right there. And she says, "If you want to come back, you can." So it zipped right back behind her and back in front of her again, and she snapped a photo of that and got the photo. And so in other words, the orb in the picture is the one that she was kind of tracking with her eye. And it doesn't have any element of translucency to it. It's so bright in the photo that it's a white dot. and all the other orbs that I've ever seen have some element of translucency to them. Opaqueness. You can see through them to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's nowhere near that. It's just so bright that it's just a white dot.
So are we going to be putting her on the spot if we try and bring her on right now? Because I've had a bunch of guys come on tonight, but it might be kind of cool to get some of the divine feminine on here.
Can we put you on the spot?
For me?
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Yes, yes, she is.
Hey,
is that what she said? Okay, so she's not interested in coming on then tonight.
Who's that? Me?
Oh, wait a minute. You on?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
I wouldn't leave you hanging.
How's it going, dude?
It's going great.
Cool. So, yeah, I was saying, you know, we've had all these different guys on here tonight. It'd be nice to have a lady on. So, Jesse, you've come out a few times now to the ranch, but you might have experienced some new phenomenon with this last trip out here. You know, Spencer just telling us about the story of seeing the orb and, calling it and having it come back. But is there anything else that kind of stood out as different highlights of, really interesting experiences that you had most recently here?
Well, I got to say, you know, every day was great in the energy, the vibe. Everybody was so positive and just geared towards a fresh, you know, start in their days and just, I don't know, just being awesome people in general. But personally, I got to say, on the last day, I did my first clairvoyant angelic healing. And that stands out for me. One, it allowed me to go through a process of healing and fitness and thankfulness. And I did that with Peter and Ann Selby. And I didn't know what to expect out of it, except for, you know, it doesn't hurt to try something new and just be open, right? And I walked away from it with just a greater understanding of, like, my body and myself and I don't know, learn more about, like, clearing my energy and I'm stumbling. I'm caught off guard. It stands out the most because, you know, I took all those photos and saw things you don't see every day in the city, and then I had this healing with that team of people and walked away a new girl. If that's possible, but yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so more stories of some deep transformation, huh?
Transformation for sure.
Hmm. So I mean, how have you felt like after that? Like
amazing. You know how sometimes you walk away, you know, you say, I'm going to stop drinking too much wine at night, or I'm going to stop eating gluten. Little things like little life choices you say you're going to do. I have literally like wanted to, I've just been making better choices for myself. You know, we went through the process of, looking at each, chamber of my body almost and seeing what I've kind of done to it. And I haven't been so great to every part of my body. And I went through, you know, the thankfulness and the forgiveness piece. And after kind of going through that in each section of my body, I just, you know, my hip could move easier. I had better movement on my left side. I could move my neck, not just a little bit, but a lot to the left. I ran from one side of the ranch to my room to get something without running out of breath. I mean, it was completely, I cannot even explain it. It was just so energizing and it's just kind of carried over. I mean, you can ask Spence. I'm up early in the morning, like, hey, want to go for a walk? Want to do this? Want to do that? And he's like, slow down. Love to change, but slow down.
Oh, man. Well, man, it's such a pleasure to have you guys out here, and you guys are both, you know, major help to the ranch, and you know, Spence totally stepped up to the plate, and I think really turned some heads with his presentation, and he did awesome on the panel too. You must have been proud of him.
I was snapping pictures left and right of that too. Something that I appreciated about the panel was, you know, everyone had a little bit of a different approach or an answer to a question, and everyone was very accepting of whatever somebody had to offer for their answer. And, the, you know, there was no arguments of, well, you're wrong, you're right. It was more like, okay, that's just another way to look at it. And I think Spence kind of offered a very neutral but approachable answers to a lot of the questions that were coming up in the panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, it was quite an alchemy of just different approaches and different perspectives. But you're right, it was extremely harmonious, despite there being, you know, kind of such a wide array of different approaches.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That just felt good. Could you imagine, like, a city meeting or a town hall go that way? Things would get done.
We're working on that. We're working on, you know, learning better and more effective ways of communicating, and negotiating and navigating conflict and neutralizing it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Spence has been a valuable ally, bringing,
well, you guys are great,
you know, many
with.
Different many different ways for us to consider the situations and challenges that some of the challenges that the ranch has been dealing with lately.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you
yeah,
guys did a great
so
job
much
on
gratitude
the conference.
To both of you guys.
Oh well, thanks. I just want to say you guys did a put together a great conference, a nice blend of people, and so kudos to you guys on that. Just a great job all the way around.
Well, thank you, and thank you again for being a part of it. Well, it looks like we're kind of rounding up here to the top of the hour. It's going to be time to get off of the air here. Jess, is there any final closing questions, comments, statements, or anything else that you wanted to bring up?
Oh, boy. Not off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I'm kind of a boring subject tonight. Just, you know, just everyone have a great night. I don't know.
Yeah.
Love, peace,
that's
joy.
Well, that's cool. Hey, it's nice to have a little snapshot of a few of the different folks that have been out here tonight or been out here during this last week. So, yeah, thanks again, you guys, for being available to join us briefly. So cool. So with that, folks, we're going to wrap it up. Again, this is Nate coming to you from ESETI. James is going to be sharing a pre-recorded MP3 here shortly after this. And, I guess I'll just wish everyone a fantastic evening. And, keep following the path and much luck on your journey. All right. Be well.
Greetings. This is James Gillen, and I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got C.O. Mangizi. He's a shaman, kahuna, a native healer from Hawaii, where he studied with several indigenous healers on all islands. C.O. is a master of medical qigong and certified instructor. Born in Tonga, C.O. spent his younger years there in New Zealand and Hawaii. The Polynesians who first populated these islands practiced energy or spiritual healing regularly, and legends still abound about the miraculous healing through kahuna, mystical or magical powers. Master Seo humbly carries on that tradition after studying with Maori, Tahunga, and in New Zealand. Kahuna in Hawaii, Samoa, Tonga, Rarotonga, Tahiti, Australia, and the Caribbean. I hope I'm pronouncing these right, but I'm sure I'll be corrected if not. And in addition to developing his own spiritual power and talent, I want to welcome Seo on the show. Seo, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, certainly welcome, James. I hope we can shed some insight on things that are not so familiar to your listeners.
Great. The I know I'm always called to the islands, and I'm being called again to the islands, and I have some kahuna friends over there. Unfortunately, one just died. I don't know. Did you know Nahi?
No.
I don't know if you knew Nahi, but she, unfortunately, she comes out to the ranch here every once in a while, and she was doing a lot of work out here and, you know, doing some miracle healings out here. I saw quite a few happen, but she's crossed over now and working on the other side. But I've been really drawn to get back to the islands because that's where I seem to do my own healing and regeneration, you know, taking a break from the work here. And I'm sure working in L.A., you probably have the same challenges.
Indeed, I do. Hawaii, of course, is a very special place. If you look geographically at the location of Hawaii, it appears to be at in the center point of a giant wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very profoundly spiritual place. Unfortunately, much of it has been, the spirituality has been lost in it. There's a lot of superficial,
yes,
spiritual practice going on, which and one has to be careful, uh-huh, which is authentic and which is more, shall we say, centered around just money.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the material side of things. I know I've seen a lot of people, they'll tag shaman onto their name or kahuna or whatever, and they haven't done their own homework yet, you know. And,
That's absolutely correct. On the other hand, we are all very human, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the lady's name was Nahi?
Nahi, yes.
Right. And this is a question that I come across a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me, since you are a kahuna, you enjoy excellent health all the time, and you can run marathons, and with the assumption that one never dies.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the reason we are on this earth is to live our life centered around love, and eventually everyone, with very, very few exceptions, are going to pass through the gate of death.
Uh-huh.
And Nahi did the same thing. I will do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And with few exceptions, there are a small handful of people worldwide who won't die but just translate into another form.
Uh-huh.
But basically, death, of course, is just translation to another form.
Uh-huh.
Nothing, no energy ever really dies. It just changes form.
Yeah, I've tried to explain that to people, and even using physics, you know, the life forces in the atom itself, and everything goes from a complex structure back to a less complex structure, back to the life force, basically, and it's just always transforming from one form to the other, from complex structures back to the simplicity.
Absolutely, and of course, the end form is nothing, which, uh-huh, is very difficult for a lot of people to comprehend. How can everything have come from nothing? But if you were to use the law of physics, and you brought everything down, even in the subatomic world, it really doesn't go away. And the closer it is to what you say is simplicity,
uh-huh,
the more powerful it is. The atom, when you split it, it has infinitely more power than, say, the most powerful airline.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's one of the things I've noticed. We were doing a lot of Qigong and Yigong practices here, and one of the premises of that is less is more, and to actually stop the mind. You know, it's a practice of no mind, and get that monkey mind to slow down and stop leading you all over the place.
Absolutely. And I think much of the world's ills come from too much mind. If we look at the animal kingdom, say a puppy or, uh-huh, kitten, they show great signs of no mind. Of course they are thinking, but they seem to be enjoying themselves all the time,
uh-huh,
most of the time. Whereas we humans, we are constantly unhappy with our state. We try to devise things that will solve our problems. The main difficulty with that kind of thinking is that we really have no problems unless we think them into being. If we stop using our mind so much, the ego is really a bedrock of dissatisfaction and everything that's wrong with the world now.
Yeah, I've always wondered, I've had this, I've gone back and forth between, you know, there's an old saying, God is nothing and God is everything. And it's kind of, you can be unique yet one at the same time, which is almost a paradox, but it really isn't when you...
That's absolutely true. You can be everything and be nothing at the same time. If you were to look at, say, a piece of steel, really the piece of steel is not that solid. There's more porosity or more holes or empty spaces in the steel than there is tangible matter. Because constantly there are subatomic particles shooting right through the steel that we don't see, obviously. So if you were to extend that out to its logical conclusion, it doesn't really exist. It's palpable to our human senses, but in the grand scheme of things, the piece of steel is an illusion.
Yeah, it seems like we used to talk about trees being 90% water, but you know, they sure don't feel like water when you run into them.
That's because we are in the form that we are. Mm-hmm. As you know, some of the things going on in Eseti, your farm or mm-hmm. your ranch, defy the known laws of physics. How can objects in the sky make right angles at the speed of light mm-hmm. or more than the speed of light? So there are things that, for example, in my time with kahunas in various areas, some things that doesn't make sense to our human senses, but on further analysis, and here we will go more into the spiritual realm, mm-hmm. Everything is possible. I have seen one time I was with a kahuna on the island of Kauai, and we slept in this hut next to a heiau. A heiau is like an ancient Hawaiian temple. Mm-hmm. So inside the hut, there were these large boulders. I would say the diameter would be about 6 feet across, and it was like a large egg partly buried in the ground. And smaller rocks as well. And we slept on the side of them. And inside was really odd that the grass was green. Normally grass does not grow inside buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But shade, all the time, they generally die. Mm-hmm. But it was green all the time. In any event, we slept there one night, my first night there. When we woke up, the boulders were gone. And I asked the kahuna, what happened to the rocks here? And she says, oh, they're still here. We exited the hut, and the boulders were outside. So either the boulders moved, or the hut moved, or something moved, and I was totally unaware of it. Mm-hmm. And when I asked him the question, he just chuckled and said, that's the way things are.
Yeah, I've had a few of those experiences where, you know, you just can't wrap your head around it. But it just seems there's so many worlds within worlds, and we choose one of them, or we chose to create one world, whereas there's all these other realities or possibilities surrounding us at the same time. And I think a lot of the kahunas and a lot of the masters enjoy playing with that.
Absolutely. I saw many, many instances of this. And even though I'm not at liberty to pinpoint their location, because they're kind of like a near-extinct species, mm-hmm. I can tell you some things that I saw while I was living in the caves on the Big Island of Hawaii with four very powerful kahunas. And you were alluding earlier to things that they that we all have multi-dimensional lives, and mm-hmm. I saw actual instances of that. One morning I was, and we slept on the ground on a bed of leaves in these caves. They're very well hidden. Mm-hmm. And one morning I was sitting drinking a coconut out of a coconut, and one of the kahunas just walked out of the wall of the cave. He just suddenly materialized, and I almost lost it. In fact, I dropped the coconut. I said, wow, how did he do that? Mm-hmm. And I was under a strict code of silence for nearly 7 months. Mm-hmm. That was part of the agreement to go live with them, was to be in total silence. They neither spoke to me and neither did I speak to them. And so when I saw that, I wondered, wow, that's really amazing. A minute ago, there was nothing there, and now he's there. Mm-hmm. And he just seemed to emerge out of the lava rock in full form, yeah. Just like you and I.
And he was one of the kahunas that you knew, I imagine. Yes. He wasn't just another being just manifesting out of the...
Oh, no. Because their old theories of how things work are kind of collapsing by the day.
Yeah, and they've written books, with these theories in them, and now they're the authority, and then they just found out that their theory was wrong.
Absolutely. So the Newtonian model is out the window.
Uh-huh.
And and they said, more and more we are forced to admit that something, some people label it as spiritual or metaphysical, but there is a form out there that we haven't understood. And mm-hmm. it seems like some of the spiritualists, the gurus, were right, that there are things that are unseen, that matter is not really matter, that it is an illusion. Mm-hmm. And they say, and it's very difficult for us to prove that what the spiritualists say is not true. Because we are finding that they are true.
Yeah, all their data is going in that direction, but they don't want to admit it. I've always asked them this question, and it stumps them. I said, okay, you can measure less than 1% of the universe in which we live, and they said yes. And so, and I said, you believe that there's at least 11 more dimensions out there, than this dimension. And they agree, and I said, well, why do you always want physical evidence to prove something to be correct when you know the majority of the universe we live in is non-physical?
That's right.
And they just sit there and look at me, and I said, you base your whole authority on evidence, physical, empirical evidence, but that's the 1%, and anybody that goes outside of the 1%, you label as woo-woo or kooks, I said, you've trapped yourself into, 1% wisdom.
Absolutely. And the same thing I think you're finding daily out there where you are with these spaceships coming mm-hmm. and making what we perceive as impossible maneuvers. But we're perceiving that against our own technology.
Mm-hmm.
And refusing to believe that there are technologies that are way, way ahead of us. And that's the problem with most of our governments, is that they think we have the best jets, we have the best rockets.
Uh-huh.
And if the UFOs perform not according to the laws of our rockets, then it must be baloney.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they say, we have footage of these ships actually bilocating into 3 and 4 and back to 1 again, and just doing it over and over again for about 10 minutes with probably 50, 60 witnesses watching this. And I've showed this to NASA physicists, top physicists, and I said, explain to me what is going on here? And they couldn't. And then finally they said, well, it's probably a really big ship and they're just turning their lights on. That was the only thing they could come up with. And I said, well, there's nothing in between the lights. You know, you can see very clearly there isn't any structure, any mass. There's nothing there. And these lights are going to one side and then the other side. And this thing is, and then it's jumping all over the place. And so they just were trying to explain it. And then I said, well, why don't you look into the spiritual side of things? I said, it's been demonstrated that yogis can dematerialize. They can be in more than one place at a time. They can bilocate. This is all a matter of record. It's in all the ancient texts, and some can do it today. I know some lamas that can do it. One I studied with, you can see right through them, and you can see tonkas hanging in the background. We actually have people here at the ranch doing that, where they're, you can see right through them when we're practicing Yigong and some of the other practices. So I told him, I said, that it fits right into that real easy. Their technology probably evolved at the same rate as their spirituality, and it makes total sense to me that if we can do it with our physical bodies, why can't they do it, you know, with you know, their technology?
Absolutely.
But they can't wrap their head around that. You know, it has to be, you know, they have to see a physical machine power up, and they can't really understand a lot of times a blend of spirit and science when they both come together.
Right. We discussed earlier, our main difficulty as human beings is we are boxed in by our ego.
Mm-hmm.
If we cannot explain it against some of our own knowledge or technology, then we really think it's an aberration and it really doesn't exist, that you and I are crazy and mm-hmm. we never really saw these UFOs. It was some kind of light thing going on, a natural phenomenon of some kind. Or there's always that standby, it's a weather balloon.
Yeah, we had this one supposedly guy on, supposed to be on our side. I won't mention his name, but he's this physicist that's trying to prove UFOs. So we showed him some footage of this brilliant light. It's like a light disc following the plane, and we're going from Portland to L.A. And right. So he was trying to say, because this thing was morphing and doing all kinds of things, and he was trying to say it was a weather balloon that was following alongside of the plane.
Was it tied to the plane with a string?
Yeah. And he said the only reason it was staying with the plane because it was in the jet stream. And I said, well, I said, we're going north to south. The jet stream's going east to west. And he goes, oh, you know, like this. And it was really funny. They try so hard to debunk the obvious. And sometimes I just think, you know, rather than scoffing and ridiculing people, I mean, their attempts are basically laughable when they try to debunk these things. And what they come up with now is extremely laughable, and it really establishes their character and their intelligence or their motive, you might say.
Absolutely. Which brings me to the issue of modern medicine, mm-hmm. and the kind of work that I do, they're really both using energy. Mm-hmm. Their energy comes from the pharmaceutical drugs. The energy that I tap into is beyond matter.
Yeah.
Fortunately, some physicians are now crossing over to understand and work with people like myself.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple of physicians who come to see me regularly. Just the other day, I was working with one of them. I have to say here, James, that I am not a physician. Uh-huh. I'm a spiritual worker. And I don't pretend to practice medicine. What I do is affect people's vibration.
Uh-huh.
So what I learned with studying with the native healers of Polynesia is that you can affect another's vibrations with your own vibration. It's a very, very high form of healing energy.
Uh-huh.
And when it, for instance, what you're feeling is a vibration which I release and you pick it up or the patient picks it up, and it's a primordial vibration that everybody's born with.
Uh-huh.
The Creator, however people understand Creator, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Universal Mind, but something or entity is behind all this. Otherwise, everything will be a shambles. But uh-huh. everything seems to work in an order until man decides to try and control the order. So when I release that vibration, the person on the other end, which is really not the other end, because the other person is really here,
uh-huh.
appears to be there, picks it up, and on the subconscious level, they decide, okay, I hear it. This is the vibration I was born with. Everybody's born with this vibration, by the way, James. Everybody. Uh-huh. That's the vibration, and that's who I really am. And who I really am is part of the source. Therefore, as a spirit, I'm very powerful, and I can begin to correct my issues. And it's similar to a technician rewriting the software on a computer.
Uh-huh.
So when we're born, most of us are born with pretty much good immune systems and so on, and good thinking processes, and we acquire all sorts of aberrations through the simple process of living, from the polluted environment, from our parents who may not have the correct amount of knowledge to try and raise us properly, to schoolmates, to people who just dislike us for whatever reason. So this creates a lot of tension and stress, which depletes our immune system, and so we are much more vulnerable to diseases and all kinds of physical, spiritual, and mental issues. So when people hear this vibration, they're not consciously aware of it. But at the cellular level, they realize, okay, that's the language that I know. I can go ahead and heal myself. And that's basically how it works. And it's instant in the communication. Some of the results can be very subtle, and some are absolutely dramatic.
Uh-huh.
Such as people with hands that are frozen with arthritis for many years. I work with them for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and their fingers begin moving. If their arm has been limp, hanging on the side as a result of a stroke, I'm now alluding to an actual case. He had a stroke like 9 years before I met him, and in just a few minutes, his vibration changed, and he raised his hand straight up in the air.
Hmm. Yeah, I've seen video, actually, of Qigong masters over in China dissolving a tumor, you know, while being actually filmed, you know, with some kind of, it was probably ultrasound or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, you can't argue that when you see the tumor, you know, just dissolve, and all the guy's doing is standing there with his hands out, you know.
Absolutely. And, of course, we have the religionists who will discount anything that is done by someone who doesn't belong to the same religion as they are.
Uh-huh.
I come across this all the time, when I help people change their vibration and their issue becomes much more tolerable or totally goes away. Their pastor would say, well, what church does he go to?
Uh-huh.
And it's a little bit disheartening sometimes when after you help somebody, they ask you about your they accept it, and now they're well, mm-hmm. and they ask you, what religion, what church do you go to? And if you say, I don't go to any particular church, their pastor says, ah, this is the work of the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that quite a few times. It's quite interesting because, you know, the hypocrisy that in a lot of the churches where, you know, you people come here and they have all kinds of miraculous healings, and I sponsor, you know, people from every walk of life, even physicists that are on cutting edge come here and do lectures. But, you know, there's just nothing but good coming out of this place, and they've seen it, and the whole town is flourishing, you know, because of us. It was basically a ghost town. You know, it was an old logging community that was just, you know, pretty dark and dismal and you know, no business or anything. But I was asking them, I said, well, can you give me any examples of anything negative that's happened here? And I said, you know, basically we all, you know, there's no, I know Muhammad said that one thing, there's no perfect man, only perfect intentions, you know, but I said, our intentions have always been of the highest, to, you know, to serve and empower and heal. So, you know, give me an example of where something negative has happened here, you know, other than in your own imagination, you know, and they can't come up with anything. But I think it's amazing that they don't even follow their own master teacher, you know, which is, you know, in Jesus' time, his disciples beat some guy up and threw him out of the town because he was healing and not doing it in the name of Jesus or their God. And he was pretty upset about that. He said, if he's not against us, he's with us. Why did you do that? You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I think it's, you know, by the old, his old saying, he said, by their fruits they'll know them. You'll know them. You know, if they are helping people and serving and healing people, then they're connected. And they don't have to use the same name.
Right. I think we're grateful that despite all this opposition, and Einstein said something like, whenever someone finds a truth and begins to practice it, at first he's ridiculed,
uh-huh.
and then opposed and ridiculed, and eventually people will accept that,
yeah.
yes, that is a truth. I'm grateful also that there are some traditional physicians who come to see me, and I'll give you a specific example of one of them. He called me to come and discuss what I do.
Uh-huh.
And I went to lunch, and then he called me while I was eating and said, can you come back? I think you might be able to help one of my patients. So this particular woman, when I got there, she was screaming. She just had chemo. And I went into a treatment room with her, and in about 2 minutes, she stopped screaming from the pain. And she was actually smiling and telling jokes and kidding around with her physician. And he couldn't understand it. Then the physician and I went to another room, and he says, well, try it on me. And I did for maybe 10 minutes, and he would open his eyes and say, how are you performing acupuncture on me at three different places at the same time? And he was wearing a suit.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what do you mean? He says, I feel needles in my scalp, needles in my navel, and needles in my feet. And he was wearing shoes.
Uh-huh.
And this is a common phenomenon with a lot of my clients. They feel as if things are being done to them physically, when I don't even touch them. They have the sensation that sometimes there's a breeze blowing through their body. Some people feel there are liquids, warm liquids, washing around their kidneys, or liver and different parts of their bodies. But what the point I wanted to make was that physicians more and more are being open, uh-huh. that there are things that they couldn't explain according to their training, but which nonetheless work.
Oh, you know, I agree. Actually, I'm because my lower back kind of bothers me when I'm sitting. I'm actually standing here right now listening to you talk, and I'm feeling little needle points going into my shoulder and all the things that you're talking about, and my body's starting to rock. You know, my arms want to start rocking and moving, and I'm feeling little pulsations down there in the disc area. It's probably a little painful right now, but I think that's usually you feel a little pain before it gets better.
Yes, it's pretty much like a massage sometimes. If you haven't had a massage in a long time and there's a knot, when the therapist pushes on the knot, it's going to hurt like blazes. Uh-huh. And after a while, it dissipates. This also happens a lot during my private sessions and also even during my classes. Like I can help people in a class setting with as many as 150 people in the same room, and I can still affect them. And do you know what Kundalini is?
Yes, yes.
I can help them move their Kundalini all at the same time. And how people react is different, James. Some people react in a very subtle way. Other people, they bounce up and down off the floor. You can probably ask Connie about this. She's been to a couple of my classes.
Yeah.
Some people arrive with seemingly no pain or no perceivable pain, and they get painful during the healing. For instance, let's say they had an accident 20 years ago and broke their ankle. And as far as they know, their ankle's back to normal, but there is some residual damage there, and it becomes painful, and they don't understand why. And then they suddenly remember, 20 years ago I had a car wreck and my ankle was broken, but it had never really healed 100%, and they forgot that there's residual damage there.
Uh-huh.
It might be nerve damage, and then they say, wow, now it doesn't really feel painful at all. So these kinds of things happen all the time. Some people arrive with full-blown migraines, which go away, and some people arrive with seemingly nothing, and they develop a migraine during the healing. And at the end, they're kind of upset, and I explain to them, this is because there's all sorts of issues being addressed all at once, and it's kind of overwhelming for you, but it'll go away. And sure enough, within a couple of minutes or while they're walking to their car, the migraine goes away.
Uh-huh. I've noticed that a lot in the healing process. It's like some people will blame you for this and this and this, and just saying, you know, and you just go, you know, that's between you and spirit. You know, I always say I don't take blame or credit for any of this.
Absolutely. That's with me. They do the healing.
Uh-huh.
I merely remind them who they are.
Yeah, but it is interesting. And I've noticed all those processes in myself. When you get to your core issues, you know, your body's going to throw up all kinds of resistance. And I know just getting there to a workshop or a counseling session or something like that, you getting there versus your ego sabotaging you getting there is quite a little battle for some people, because the ego knows it's going to have to let go, you know, of control in this matter, and it doesn't want that.
Absolutely. There's one humorous instance here. This lady came to see me, and we had private sessions for maybe a couple of months, and she was totally changed. She was very depressed when she first came. Now she's laughing and she's happy and everything. And her husband noticed, and she said, well, maybe you should go and see Master Seo. And he goes, this is a very highly intelligent computer programmer who does work for Apple Computer. He's high up there in the tech world. But in any event, he said, to his wife, no, I don't believe in those kinds of things. And she says, well, I already paid for it, and why don't you just go to humor me, go? So duly he shows up, and she called me ahead of time, says he is fuming. He says it's a waste of money, but since it's already paid for, okay, I guess I'll go. So he shows up, and he tells me the same thing. This, I know this is a waste of time, but my wife made me. So here I am. What do I have to do? I said, you just lie down and close your eyes. That's it. Do I have to tell you anything? No. You just lie down. That's it. So he lies down, and I work with him. At the end, I saw all the signs, classic signs of the energy moving through him. I brought him back, and he says, well, thank God that's over. So off he goes. I called up his wife and said, well, he was fuming when he came in, and he was still fuming when he left. But in between, I know that something shifted. Mm-hmm. And she goes, okay, thank you very much. That's very nice that you did that. So the next morning around 11, she calls me up. And she said, well, he came home. He was still fuming. But he slept very well all night, which he usually doesn't. He got up this morning. He made love to me furiously, promptly got up and went for a four-mile run. And he's never done that in ages and ages. And he still said it was a waste of time.
Yeah. I think it's totally interesting how people just, they really just try so hard to stay in their beliefs. You know, they remain in their old belief systems despite, you know, all the evidence around it that it's erroneous. They'll just do everything they can to hang on to their old ways and their old patterns.
Absolutely. The other thing that I think is kind of a redeeming point for people like this fellow I just mentioned is that their awareness is not to a high enough level that they perceive anything. It may not be their ego holding on to it. Well, I guess we're talking about the same thing. Their perception is diminished by their ego.
Uh-huh.
I worked with a gentleman from Boston just a few days ago. Usually, when I work with them, either personally or at a distance, there are signs that I would actually see, and these become very common. So you can expect to see certain signs that people exhibit,
uh-huh,
even though their eyes are closed and they're not aware of things going on physically. But over the period of 4 days working with him daily over the phone, he said, no, I don't feel anything. No, his legs were paralyzed. He had absolutely no feeling on the soles of his feet. And he kept saying that he felt nothing. And I thought, okay, maybe that's so. Then on one of the calls, I ran into his wife. And I said, well, when I call the next time, if you can be on another line and watch from outside the bedroom, this fellow was lying down, and tell me if you see anything, don't let him know that you're there.
Uh-huh.
So on the next call, I asked the guy who was on the speakerphone, are you starting to feel anything? He said, no. Meanwhile, his wife said, his feet are flapping around from side to side.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked the guy, hey, sometime most people feel some kind of change in their body temperature. For whatever reason, some people feel like they're freezing, and other people feel like they're hot and sweaty. And do you notice any temperature change? He goes, no, I notice nothing. And after a few minutes, his wife whispers into the phone, he's pulling up his covers. He's covering himself with a blanket. So sometimes it's their ego preventing them, not wanting to admit that something is happening, and other times they just don't perceive it. You know,
uh-huh,
the nervous system is so malfunctioning that they can't really tell what's happening with certain parts of their body.
I'm wondering about, you know, like in the case of victims, a lot of victims will gain either emotional or financial support from others through that process of being a victim, and so they don't want to let it go. And the same thing with the healing, you know, they're getting attention or they're getting a lot of energy from enablers around them, so they're just not in a position of letting that go because it serves them in some way. And I look at that in my own life too. I try to say, okay, why can't I let this thing go? You know, what, how does this serve me? You know, and often, you know, it's quite a challenge. You have to just be brutally honest with yourself and just say, well, where, how is this serving me? Or how do I believe this is serving me? And is there another way I can get that without having to go into I'm in, you know, pain mode, or I'm sick mode, or whatever.
Absolutely. Could we have a brief update on how your back is feeling?
It's interesting. I felt all this energy down there, and I have a little, it's still, it feels like there's a little glitch in there, like a little lock.
Okay.
A little pinching. There's a little pinching program going on between the disc and the nerve, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. This will subside, and it'd be interesting if you could send me an email updating over the next day or so.
Oh, I definitely will.
What happens is the energy continues to work even after we're done here.
Mm-hmm.
You may continue to feel tingling from time to time, or sometimes you might see some jerking motions. Your leg might start moving on its own accord. Mm-hmm. And so don't be surprised if anything like that happens. You may also feel some tingling up and down your spine, which only indicates that the neural pathways are being rerouted sometimes, or just enhanced so that the communications can be much more efficient.
Yeah, great. I'll definitely keep you informed. I know that happens a lot of times. Sometimes it gets a little worse before it gets better, or you'll feel you know, even when you're practicing Yigong and things, you know, your legs will start bouncing sometimes, and hands, and you know, you just have to just let it go through. It's your channels opening up, and don't resist it. But you know, we're coming up close to the end of the hour, and before we do, you know, finish here, I wanted to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you if they want to schedule some kind of a workshop or a session with you.
Yes, they can either call me directly, which is 424-744-6439. That's 424-744-6439. Or they can Google me up. Just Master Seal should be able to bring me up.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kahuna Heal, or something like that. If I could give my website.
Yes.
It's Seal, that's S like Sam, I-O, the, as in T-H-E, Healer, H-E-A-L-E-R. So it's SIOTHEHEALER.com, and that'll bring me up.
Great. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be getting some calls as soon as this airs. But I love the practice, you know, and it's I know the Native American practices talk about, you know, becoming like a hollow bone, or you know, you have to be totally empty and just let this energy flow through you, versus, you know, taking credit for it or saying, you know, I did it, you know, or I sent it, you know, when it really is. You know, coming from a much bigger eye, you know, I'd say.
Right, absolutely. My only job is to remind the person that they are a spirit being powerful enough to do their own healing. That's my only job.
Uh-huh.
I don't actually do the healing. It's not as if I have some magical power. I merely remind you that you are capable of doing it.
Uh-huh. Well, we're hitting the end of the hour. I know we could probably go on for another 2 hours, because there's about 100 more questions I'd like to ask, but unfortunately this is a one-hour show. But
okay.
Again, you know, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and hopefully maybe we can get you up here to the ranch to do a workshop or do some healing work.
I'd very much like to come up and experience your ranch. And thank you for being a light in the area of metaphysics, what you're doing out there.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I don't know how to do anything else.
we're all paddling the canoe in the same direction, James.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I always tell people. We all came from the source, and we're all going to go back to the source, and what we do in between is your own personal journey, but, you know, in spirit, we're one.
And so I thank you, James, for the opportunity, and I thank the listeners for the privilege of sharing some of my thoughts.
Great. And I'm sure we'll be in touch. Well, anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and have a great day. I'm sure you will, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. All right, this is James Gillen signing off. Be sure and tap into that wonderful energy, and give them a call if you need some healing energy sent your way. Anyway, have a great day.